The career of the conductor James Gaffigan is on the rise. This season, the New York-born 30-something-year-old took up two significant posts in Europe as chief conductor of the Lucerne Symphony Orchestra and principal guest conductor of the Netherlands Radio Philharmonic. He also returned to guest conduct the Minnesota Orchestra and the Toronto, Nashville, Dallas, Baltimore and Milwaukee Symphonies and make debuts at the Spoleto Festival and with the Los Angeles Philharmonic, the Atlanta Symphony and the Philadelphia Orchestra. In his mid-20s, while an assistant conductor at the Cleveland Orchestra working under Franz Wessler Most, Gaffigan took first prize in the 2004 George Schulte International Conducting Competition, springboarding his career and taking him onto the podiums of many of the world's top orchestras. I met with James Gaffigan earlier this year, backstage at the Kimmel Center's Verizon Hall. There's a really interesting entry on your website in one of your blogs where your manager calls you when you're in the Czech Republic in Prague and says, oh, Jimmy from Staten Island is conducting the Czech Philharmonic. But it has to be said, there have been a lot of Jimmy from Staten Island moments over the last couple of years. That's not to say that this has been overnight. This success has been gradual in coming, right?
Yeah, it has been. But I've been very lucky to have some key players in my life, whether it be my management or other conductors like David Zinman or Franz Welser Most, to really take care that I do things properly and not rush anything. So I think if people care about you, they'll take good care of you. And in this business, you need mentors and you need a team of people around you to really to help you through all of this. So I've been very fortunate to have good people around me since I was 19 and started.
Zinman is a very good case in point, an American conductor in a major Swiss orchestra, and you're in the same situation. What's been the advice he's given you? What did he say to you on your first meeting? What did he say when you found out you were going to go and be in Lucerne as music director?
Well, I think when I knew Mr. Zinman most closely was basically during our Aspen years, the 3 years I spent at Aspen Music Academy, this kind of academy for conductors that he started. And he told all of us, actually, from the beginning, if I were to give you any advice at the beginning of your careers, always rent, never buy, and find yourself a good wife. And that was really funny to me, but it meant more things than just that. He has a way of teaching young conductors how to do things in private so you're not doing them in front of a major symphony orchestra. He always made it clear to, if you're going to do a Bruckner symphony for the first time, do it with an orchestra that's not in the spotlight. And also with concerti, you should never be accompanying the Elgar violin concerto for the first time with the Philadelphia Orchestra. You know, there are these danger, these pitfalls that young conductors need to know. Even if you study the Rite of Spring since the age of 13 and have it memorized and can write it out, you still shouldn't be conducting it with the New York Philharmonic for the first time. So it's these little things that
Because
obvious.
Why? Because they're going to play it their own way and that's it.
Well, that's one of the things that they have their tradition. And with a piece like Rite of Spring or Beethoven Symphony No. 5, these orchestras have their way of doing it. And even if they love you and try and they want to do what you're asking for, it's still going to be a little bit of a, not a battle, but difficult. But the reason I was talking about before is that sonically, you're not ready to hear what these pieces sound like. My one word of advice to my colleagues or people younger than me is just do it for the first time, whether it means with a youth orchestra or a lesser known orchestra, because just hearing those sounds for the first time is quite overwhelming. I remember experience for me with Webern Passacaglia. You know, you study this piece, I wrote a paper about it in school, I knew it so well, but when it was all happening, I studied it so much that it was like overload for my brain. And Esa-Pekka Salonen told me once when I was young, he said, you need to step back, you know, in these situations as a conductor. You need to hear the bigger picture. If you start micromanaging, the orchestra's going to hate you. You're going to lose your mind up there because it's never going to be as perfect as you want it to be. So that was a really good advice. And that goes for especially all impressionistic music, all this Debussy, L'Après-Midi or La Mer. If you get so hung up on the details, you'll really forget the big picture.
This was a lesson that was brought home to you as well with the Vienna Philharmonic, I believe, that you were trying to, I think by your own admission, overconduct them. And every time you tried to overconduct them, it didn't go well. When you let them be the Vienna Philharmonic and provide them as much information as they needed to stay together, it worked better, right?
Well, the way it really happened was Franz Welser Most, the music director of the State Opera, came to my dressing room minutes before I went in the pit for the first time with the Vienna Philharmonic. And he said, James, you're going to be great. You know this music inside and out, but I'm giving you some friendly advice. You're going to want to be clear. You're going to want to be as clear as you possibly can, but don't. He said, show them the direction in which way to go. Show them colors that you want them to make. Show them that you're there with the singer, breathing with the singer. They'll do everything else. He goes, as soon as you start trying to keep them together, you're going to fail. And it was the best advice ever for that orchestra. If you start subdividing and becoming controlling, they just shut down somehow. They actually go slower. They play with less energy. And I did it a couple of times. I was guilty of it, of a couple crucial moments that I know in Bohème that have worked for me in the past in Zurich Opera, for example. When I tried to really be clear and really nail these transitions, they kind of just look at me and say, what are you doing? You know, let us do that. You know, we're smart enough to figure out where these little pizzicati go.
And so familiar with the work that they hadn't even rehearsed it for 25 years when you went in there,
exactly.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah, the last time they did a rehearsal on La Bohème was with Carlos Kleiber in 1985, I believe it was. I mean, that was mind-blowing. That's another piece of information that Franz told me in the dressing room, and I couldn't believe it. But this orchestra, look, everything wasn't perfect. I'm not going to say it was. I'm not going to lie. But my God, was it amazing. And it just showed that the more an orchestra listens, the more magic happens and the less I need to be controlling in any way, because it's not a conductor's job to be controlling. It's a conductor's job to let the orchestra play as best they can. As soon as you start controlling, you mess up, you get in people's way, you mess up the flow, and you shouldn't be a conductor. If you're a control freak, you shouldn't be a conductor.
Wow.
No, I'm serious. If you need to know every single thing that's going to happen, you know, why not go into something with numbers? Why not be an accountant
or a pianist?
No, come on. No. You know what I mean. I just think the most incredible things happen in concerts when you let go.
American conductor James Gaffigan.
Everything you hear on WRTI is made possible by members. Please join today.